Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside dancing CEO of The Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz. We're talking about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, enjoy wine.
Enjoy wine.
And dance.
And dance to this groovy little intro song.
Groovy. Yep. What else is going on?
I mean, we're like episode 152, and I'm still not sick of this song as an intro song.
That is a statement.
I want to ask Jeff, our producer, are you sick of the song yet?
No.
Okay.
It's a good song.
A man of so many words. I know. Yes.
He clearly has not had enough of our sweet and sour twin snake gummy worms or the sour gold bear sour bears.
Brought to you by Haribo. Haribo.
Can we get some sponsorship dollars?
I think Haribo, they would be a good sponsor.
They'd be an amazing sponsor.
Not if you keep shouting them out for free like that.
I know.
We have an unbranded gold bear sour.
Totally generic.
Yeah. But just imagine if it were.
For the right price, it could be your company.
Yep. Happy to work with local companies, too.
Totally.
Just show us what you got.
Well, you know, there is the candy store in Windsor. I wonder if they would sponsor our show by donating candy to us every week.
Yep.
I think that's a great idea. I'm looking at Chelsea on the team over there. She is, like, sending them a note right now.
Please. I think they have a candy store, I think, also in Petaluma.
They do. Yeah.
Multi-location.
And, like, some cool old-school candy. That'd be kind of fun. The retro. Okay. We're going to have to create a little proposal
Brought
for them.
To you by...
I mean, we're only asking for candy. It's not like it even has to be a financial sponsorship.
It's not a lot.
We just want candy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There you go.
And so, which
money works too, though.
Money works too. Yeah, if you'd like to bring money, so we can, you know, bonus our producer Jeff, that would be awesome.
Yeah, we would like to do that. We feel bad that we haven't yet.
I know.
September.
I know.
Here we are.
It's California Wine Month.
Yes.
Which is awesome. So,
what does it mean? It means drink wines from California, but maybe specifically Sonoma County.
Yeah. If you're going to be listening to the show, we hope it's Sonoma County wine. But yes, drink wines from California. This is an event, month-long celebration of California wine that was brought to us by California Wines and the Wine Institute.
What do you know?
Go figure. They started this a while back. And this year, they're looking at really trying to do fun, like unexpected pairings or ways or places to enjoy wine. So I encourage anyone out there that wants to post something fun and tag California Wines and tag the Sonoma County Wine Course and show us what you're up to for September and California Wine Month.
There's tours, festivals, farm-to-table harvest dinners, special offers, and more.
Yeah. That's all you need.
Yeah. It's a good September. Good time to be drinking wine.
Drinking wine and getting a candy sponsor. So that is on the agenda for September.
Yeah. Here we go. We have 3 weeks to make that happen?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we'll be right back on today's Good Stuff to introduce our guest. Joining us on today's Good Stuff. Today in studio, we have Josh Little with a title that I don't think anybody else has ever had before. Director
He's
of Ag.
He's going to have to explain this
Director
one.
Director of Ag and Mineral Logistics at G3 Enterprise. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you both for having me and honored to be here.
Tell us about your title. What does that mean? Tell us about what you do.
Absolutely. I head up our ag logistics group at G3. And
what's G3?
Yeah,
people want to know.
Sure.
So you're just going to keep throwing out terms, and then we'll just keep unpacking.
No, easy. Yep.
We'll unpack.
Yeah, like, tell us more.
So in 2002, the third generation of the Gallo family came together to handle a lot of the non-core businesses of the wine company and wine and spirits. So logistics is the biggest part of our business, label manufacturing, closure, and you know, transportation. The team that I lead is our ag logistics group and minerals hauling. So we have a sand mine in Byron that we haul sand from there into the glass plant in Modesto, and raw materials from all over the state, everything that goes into making glass bottles. So our team you know, helps with that effort. And then the bigger part of the business is ag transportation. So that's field to processor, field to winery. We move a significant amount of grapes throughout the state. We've got six different dispatch offices from Yuba City down to Fresno, and then Paso, Healdsburg, and throughout the Mid-Valley as well. So we've got an incredible team, about 60 years of grape hauling, transportation in general, and you know, the family has invested in this portion of the business to, over the last 5 years, as we all know, the wine industry is challenged. And so how do we diversify, and what are the commodities, and can we take our infrastructure that we have in place and apply that to other commodities that are grown in the state of California? I mean, there's over 400 different commodities that are grown in California. And we're really focused on, you know, tree nuts, rice, fertilizer, grapes, of course. And it's been a fun journey. I mean, over my career, it's been a series of different opportunities to help the business grow. You know, how do you be an entrepreneur within a bigger company? It's been a lot. It's been a very fulfilling, and in this role, we've our team has helped this business grow, and that's what we love to do. So
to step back a little bit in terms of, I mean, Gallo as a company, is it? I imagine it's pretty rare for any wine company to have all these different facets of its business. I mean, is that something that is unique to the Gallo culture? Like, what is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and Gallo, just Gallo is separate company. Same broader family, but different ownership structure. And so G3's independently managed, leadership team, CEO, et cetera. But the culture is very entrepreneurial. We have a leadership team that is managing about 16 different independent businesses within the umbrella. Anything that's not core to making and selling wine, right? Let other companies focus on that, and we, you know, exist for other companies to succeed. So that kind of supplier mentality is how we approach it. But I think that does that kind of
I think we need to go back to the beginning.
Well, we do need to go back to the beginning, and then I have questions about the sand and the bottles.
Yeah, no, but I think
but we can go back
toured,
to that.
I've toured the glass plant.
All right,
yeah, it's very pretty,
cool.
Pretty fuzzy. It's like lava coming down.
It's,
you know,
pretty insane. So we definitely need to come back to that.
We do need to come back to that. But
you casually threw out Gallo and Generation 3. So you grew up in Sonoma County. So just talk about,
sure.
Talk about
who
growing up
you?
Here. Yeah, who are you, John?
I grew up as a member of the fourth generation of the Gallo family, and I've spent my whole career working for the family business. And, you know, bounced between job opportunities, started at Gallo in sales in L.A., selling wine in, you know, Southern L.A.
Rite of passage.
I mean, the best way to understand the product is to learn what it takes to sell it and to connect with consumers. That's why we're here, right?
Yeah.
Because.
So what were some of the brands that you were selling at that point?
I don't know if you remember Turning Leaf. You know, Gallo Sonoma. That was just when Gallo had started selling Camarena Tequila and New Amsterdam Gin. And vodka as well. So just getting in the spirits portion of the business. A lot of Moscato. That was when Moscato was really, they were sourcing Moscato from anywhere in the globe they could find it, right? In Australia and beyond, because it was, that really helped bring new consumers into the space. And so I think the industry is almost looking for that. What is that today?
Yes.
That's going to continue to bring new young consumers into, you know, winning new friends for wine is kind of how Stephanie coins it, which I really agree with. And the company is, it has a little bit of, I think all of us as wine producers thinking about how we bring new consumers into wine is how we're going to continue to stay relevant and grow.
And Gallo's always been pretty masterful at that, I would say. Like, just, you know, like understanding different price points, different varieties, like getting into...
Lots of diversification.
Lots of distribution, too, so that people could find the products. But what's the family tree? So your last name is Little, but, like, who's the Gallo connection?
There's four different branches of the family. And so I'm on my mom's, through my mom's side, all the way to Julio Gallo. So more production, operations, ag, winemaking and everything that goes into the production. So that's why it's been pretty rewarding to be on the ag transportation team, because we are we're a component. We're really the last leg of that transportation of what it takes after all of the input costs, right? The starting with pruning, the working the land, getting fertilize, all those different steps to get to the point of from the vineyard to the winery, and or tree nuts, right, from the field to the huller or the processor and the dryer. So it's we feel like a sense of responsibility to really treat that with the respect that it deserves, right? There's a lot of costs and a lot of people's livelihoods are what we transport, and so there's I think a lot of fulfillment that comes with that. And being on that side of the business.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So just talk about growing up, though, because you grew up in Sonoma Valley.
Yes.
So on a vineyard.
Yes.
Presumably.
Yeah, my mom.
So talk a little bit about that.
Totally.
What was
yeah.
your childhood like? Take us back.
And my parents moved to Sonoma County in the early 90s and purchased the ranch that we're on now a little over 30 years ago. So they've been growing grapes. That went to a number of different wineries. And then at a certain point, they said, 2002, let's start making our own wine. And so they've got a tasting room and kind of blending the heritage of ag and winemaking. And also, my dad's side of the family has been in music for, four generations.
Oh, wow.
And his grandmother toured, the jazz clubs of the West Coast, and his mother as well. And so dad is a rock musician. One of our brands is called Band Blend.
I saw that. I was curious, what's the connection?
So yeah, so a little.
Did he sing, play? What was he, his?
Oh, yeah, lead guitar and sings. He's the front man for a Tom Petty tribute band. A little plug for
Stop.
Them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice.
They play a lot in Sonoma Valley, and they just play
awesome.
The farmer's market there. They are really fun to watch, and they're very well dialed in, so.
Is that the one called Petty Theft?
And there's another one, Petty Theft. It's called A Little Petty because his last name, right?
Yeah, but wait a second,
because
far as I know, Little Vineyards, you're right next to B.R. Cohen.
Right next to B.R. Cohen, right? So it's kind of Music Alley right there with with B.R. Cohen. And then
did he have a relationship with Bruce Cohen or like Doobies?
I think their band is going to play Bruce's 80th birthday party coming up.
Stop.
So there,
wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think he really respected, of course, everything that Bruce and the Doobie Brothers have done. But that was
because they were neighbors.
Neighbors, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they've got some fun stories together, and
I'm sure.
And both have a love for music and wine, and so naturally.
So how'd your parents? How'd they meet?
So my parents met when my dad worked for G3 at the time, many years ago, and they met when my mom was also working there. And then at some point they said, "Let's move up to Sonoma," and. Continue kind of the legacy of ag and winemaking.
So do they both sort of farm the grapes? Or are they making the wine? Like, who's doing what?
Yeah, dad is really on the sales and farming side of it. And then mom really is, I would call her the CEO, really overseeing
everything.
Oh, yeah. Just does an amazing job. And then my Uncle Ted, my mom's brother, he was a winemaker by trade. And he's an incredible winemaker. So he's been, part of it since the beginning as well. And he worked for Gallup for a long time and then pivoted to make our wine and other people's wine as well.
Hmm. I had no idea some of that background. And because you're newly on our board.
New.
On the Sonoma County Wine Growers board, which is great. So
now
I'm going to be able to weave all the stories here, huh?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to serve on the board. Your board there, because we've got a little bit of a unique view because of the transportation side, which is my full-time focus, the boutique winery for Little Vineyards, and then just experience
it's
working
kind of
for Gallo
global view of what that looks like.
And it's a tough time, right? And how do we take the role seriously to really contribute to the county that I grew up in and love so much, to make an impact that helps, bring more visitation, bring our wines to other places like you've been really doing well.
So So growing up in the Gallo family, if I might ask, like, did you have a sense that you were part of this sort of, Gallo, arguably the largest winery wine entity in the world. Like, did you have a sense of that, like, as a kid, or is it just great fun and you're running around vineyards and tank rooms
kind of thing? Yeah.
Sonoma is a little bit of it. The town of Sonoma is a little island, even within the county of Sonoma.
Right? Sure,
very much. Yeah.
So even though, like, my mom's cousin Matt lives in Healdsburg and manages a lot for Gallo. And Joe is very involved on the luxury end, and there's other family members that live in the area. It was never really. It's just, you know, growing up on a ranch, you learn to work hard, and that was the values that mom and dad really instilled. So there's no sense of it's just hard work, right? And that's I think that's the focus.
Which would be a big family tradition, probably. Passed down.
Absolutely. So that. Yeah. Really no pressure to join the family business. We have a big family for sure. And there's no, real pressure to join the business. There's no, you've got to earn everything that you get. So, it's been a great journey and hopefully many years to come.
So you said, G3 is the third generation of Gallo's that started that. Who were they? Like, who were the members that kind of like pushed for that?
I think, it was a combination of the second generation and third generation coming together and allowing just different areas to focus on what, core competencies as the vertical integration continue to develop, and that's been a big focus. But I was before my time, really. So
third generation would be what, like Stephanie Gallo,
yes.
Matt Gallo, Gina Gallo.
Yep, correct.
Okay, so that's
and your mom.
Right.
And your mom. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
All made.
What, as I say, a wonderful family. So clearly some great folks.
And all really lifted the, I think, the reputation of Gallo, certainly in Sonoma County and the push in Sonoma County, which I would say the second generation, it was much more the third generation than the second generation.
I think so. Yeah, starting with Matt, I think he was the first one to move up to the area. Uncle Ted, Coleman, and a number of others. And it's, being in premium wine, which I think has been a goal for Gallo when I worked there, and of course beyond it, it's you've got to be here.
Yeah, well, it seemed like it really did start with sort of the Gallo of Sonoma project, and then buying McMurray Ranch was a big step forward too.
Yeah, did you ever go to the Taste of Sonoma events there?
Oh,
those are so fun.
Yeah,
I kind of want to bring them back.
Hey, well, that's beyond my.
Well, I don't know. But, we might.
It was the perfect location. I mean, I think just the sense of history, the that it had been lots of different types of ag over its time period, and what a beautiful venue.
I was going to say, what a beautiful ranch. I mean,
it's a special spot.
Okay, bring it back.
I know, right? We all, don't quote. Wait, can we cut this out of the show? I don't know.
One of many options.
Our producer's like, no, I'm not editing anything cursive, so don't say anything you don't want in.
Yeah, no, but it is interesting to think of that time frame and how much Gallo had a hand in it.
Yeah. Right? And now Jay Sparkling, one of my favorite bubble houses.
True. So. That's true. That was another big push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, we have so much more to discuss, but first we have to take a break, don't we?
Let's do that.
Okay, we'll be right back on Today's Good Stuff. Good stuff with Josh Little, Director of Ag Mineral Logistics at G3 Enterprise.
And I'm eating a generic gummy bear right now.
As so much more branded. That's right. Our unbranded gummy bear. We're learning so much about what G3 does, how you grew up. So you're in the fourth generation. Do you have siblings? Are they involved in the business? Are they involved in G3 or on the little vineyard side?
It's a combination. I've got three younger sisters. They are all incredibly talented in their own ways. And my one is a teacher here in Santa Rosa.
Oh.
Her and her husband are both teachers. My other sister works for Little Vineyards in kind of the marketing and sales. She's based out of Ripon in the Modesto area.
Oh, yeah.
And the youngest is in Berkeley. She just finished up at Cal and is working on kind of next steps.
So, right. I was going to say, so you said kind of the opportunity to go in the business. Did you know growing up, did you ever say like, oh, I want to be a pilot or I want to do, like, was there some other version of what?
No,
you kind
it
of
was,
or?
Yeah, I knew I wanted to be in agriculture and the wine business in some mm-hmm. way. It just kind of manifested in different ways. You know, I've been, blessed with the opportunity to work in a number of different roles. In operations, in warehousing, in grower relations here in Sonoma County, which I got to know, Steve and Joe
right.
and a lot of incredible growers here in the county. And then had an opportunity to get into business development for G3. So kind of bounced between the two companies. And then led to the opportunity that we're in today, the last 4 years in ag. But sisters. I got three younger sisters. I got my. We live close by my parents. We see them all the time. They help with the grandkids and play some music with dad here and there.
You play music with dad?
Yeah. Play some guitar, sing.
Oh.
I did at Cal Poly. I was part of the big band, so I did some singing with kind of Sinatra style there and recorded some songs. We'll have to send those to you guys one of these days.
How about a sample now?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's Frank Sinatra. Okay. You have a deep voice.
Do we have any background music, Jeff? Any Sinatra we can play?
Have music licensing fees for that.
I want the Muzak version.
You could go acapella though, right?
Yeah.
Where's my Muzak?
And my wife Sarah is from San Diego, and we moved out to Modesto together, and then moved up here. And actually, Preston was born next door at Kaiser 10 years ago. So,
wow. And how did you meet Sarah?
We met through some mutual friends from Sonoma. She was at UCSB, and one of my good friends was her roommate, and met. On New Year's, and the rest is history.
It's a good occasion to meet someone.
Yeah.
Okay, and is she also doing music, or is it just your side of the family?
She's a great musician. She I get her to sing with me sometimes after a couple glasses of wine, but she also helps with Little Vineyards, and she's very creative. She has a kind of a branded marketing business where she does hats and swag and. So she's kind of checks the creative box and really is the rock at home as well. I'm on the road quite a bit with work, so we work well together to get it done.
Yeah. It takes that. I mean, you've got all the generations working together too, which is always kind of nice.
Yeah.
So we should go back to the glass plant.
Yes. Oh, right. Back to the sand.
The sand.
I know.
So you mine sand.
So sand is a mineral.
Yes,
it's the mineral part.
The biggest ingredient that goes into the glass bottles, and G3 has been operating the sand, owned and operated the sand mine, I think since 2011. And again, one of a lot of our initiatives across G3 right now are how do we diversify and enter new markets and serve more customers? And the sand plant is definitely no exception. They, have gotten into the horse arena space, volleyball tournament, golf courses.
So how does one find a sand plant or mine?
I think it was one of the second generation members of the family was Bob Gallo had relationships with.
And where is it?
It's in Byron, so East Bay. And so relatively close, In mining, I think a lot of your highest cost tends to be the transportation, the freight. Mm-hmm. So you want to have that circle, that radius as close as you can. So it's about an hour from Modesto.
So explain why Gallo wanted to have its own source of, because do all the bottles get used by Gallo, or do they get sold to other producers, or how?
Gallo Glass is kind of its own independent entity as well, and so they sell glass to the you know,
to other suppliers.
Absolutely,
and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm not really as close to that part of the business. We get the raw materials in, including limestone from, you know, multiple different sources and a lot of their, you know, raw material ingredients. I think they've.
But the glass plant is incredible.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, well, my limited experience, but we had a chance to go. Steve and I actually had a chance to go tour with Chris Savage.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we're down in Modesto. And I just kind of blown away that from literally watching the raw material come in, how automated a lot of the things are. I mean, I just remember the tractors going, stopping, like the forklifts and everything, right, going through. Am I making this up?
Right.
Like they're all like, they stop because they see traffic and then they come. I mean, just the automation that's happening. And then, like you said, the actual, you can't turn off, I'm going to get it wrong, like the furnaces, essentially.
Yeah.
So they stay on.
Year round, pretty much. Right, because
for,
the cost
for
to...
decades.
I think so. Yeah, and there's seven.
No, yeah, that's
incredible. There's a number of different furnaces, and then they just kind of rebuild or reset each one at a time.
It's
to your point,
fascinating.
I remember as a intern seeing those automated forklifts, and they were pretty advanced. I think on some of the technology adoption. And that's what we're trying to do in the ag transportation space. Is we've got GPS sensors. And we're rolling out this new AI planning tool that is, I think, just that theme of staying relevant, continue to grow, adopt innovation and new technology. AI, of course, everyone's thinking about ways how to use that. So we're spending a lot of time on that right now, too.
But my understanding is that it's rare to have a domestic source of bottles.
Yes.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I remember kind of during COVID era, like, people talking about just how difficult it was for them to get basic things like bottles for their, you know, next vintage. So is it the only one in California? Like, what is it?
There's one in Tracy, one in Madera, and then one in Modesto. I think those are the three wine bottle producing locations, but otherwise companies will source from Mexico or China or other parts of the world. But
you sell the bottles as well, I believe.
Gallo Glass has a whole sales team, management team, and they'll I haven't worked directly for that group, but they're great.
But other people can buy Gallo Glass,
100%.
It sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just for wine, I imagine. Or is it just wine bottles?
I think majority is wine.
Okay.
I think...
That I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, field trip.
I do think just touring the Gallo facility in Modesto is just eye-opening. I mean, just in terms of just, the automation, the just sheer size and volume...
No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It is. I mean, it is one of those companies that's been around for so long and is so family focused, and yet nonstop innovation. I mean, over its history.
Yeah. Yep. I think they've got a really good leadership team there with Ernest and Stephanie, their executive team. That I look up to them a lot. So.
Incredible.
Great.
It's like the University of Gallo when you hear, like, so many people have started their career there and learned so much there.
So I'm just going to say, for the record, right before we take a break, so I was so excited. The year before I graduated undergrad, Gallo came to Penn and Wharton and recruited.
Oh.
So I was like, that's what I'm going to do. Go to California. That's going to be amazing. The next year, didn't come. So I ended up in Minneapolis marketing Honey Nut Cheerios. But I was actually really excited.
So close.
And I had a friend who was a year older than me that ended up... That was her first job out of Penn, was working at Gallo.
Wow.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back on. Josh Little, Director Ag and Mineral Logistics at G3 Enterprise, but also Little Vineyards. Let's talk about Little Vineyards.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where is it? How? I mean, we established it's next to Biarcon, but give us a little bit more context, where it is, how people can visit, what wines
what do
you make?
Absolutely.
Yeah, really, my mom and dad are still at the helm of the business. I am able, you know, fortunately, to help on the events and weekends and as much as I can with my full-time focus, of course, with G3. But it is such a fun legacy that they've built this. I think Little Vineyards, it is just the epitome of a boutique winery, and it's down a dirt road in Glen Ellen off of Highway 12. You'll see our sign there on Highway 12. Yeah. They make some of the most incredible red wines. That's the main focus. So they have a delicious Cab, Zinfandel, a number of different unique blends, and also a delicious Sauvignon Blanc. And everything is estate grown, so everything's grown right there on the property. They're in that kind of banana belt area. You turn on the hose and you'll get 85 degree water, you know, so it's just they're in that hot springs, don't typically have to worry about frost, healthy vines, and it's a beautiful scenic site where people can come have a picnic. There's a nice terrace on the crush pad that overlooks the valley, and you can see down the valley a little bit, and we've got, you know, great hospitality and
How many acres planted there?
There's about 17 planted.
17, okay.
And it feels bigger because you've got, you know, Abbott's Passage to the south, and then Biar Cohen to the north, and then Hamill across the street. Great family as well. It's a nice little neighborhood.
Nice little neighborhood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And classic Valley of the Moon, like sort of.
Yeah. Valley of the Moon, and I think Fridays, or kind of depending, you'll catch Dad playing down there in the tasting room. They'll do some pizza events and some special wine club events. Really try to tie into the theme of music, and it's a lot of fun. They really enjoy it.
So. Did your parents plant the ranch, or did they buy sort of an existing vineyard?
Good amount was planted. I think by now everything has been replanted, but the family before actually grew Sauvignon Blanc and I think Pinot Noir. There were a couple other varieties, but they've replanted most of it over the course of the 30 years they've been there. And the main house was built by George and Phoebe Hearst, so there's a lot of history of railroad going through the property, and the Sonoma Creek borders the Sonoma Creek as well. So some kind of arrowheads and interesting kind of history between the Indian tribes that were there, Native Americans, and then all the way through, you know, the railroad era, and you know, just such a rich history in the valley and in the county in general.
Yeah, because the Hearst, were they on also the present site of Bedrock? Is that kind of the lineage?
Yep. Okay. So I think he owned quite a bit of land.
He owned like everything. The entire valley floor.
And I believe he gifted or I believe it was a gift. Our parcel at one point, or part of the parcel, was gifted to the piano teacher for his kids. And so there's the roots of the music for so long, which is neat to hear. So they've been working with a historian to learn more and uncover more. But really rich history and a beautiful site.
And so the house, is that where the tastings happen? Or
right down the hill, yeah. So from the tasting room, you can see the house. Long commute for mom and dad, but they love it. And there's a couple, we've got some pigs and chickens and getting some sheep going here. So it's an actual farm. Yeah, which I think people like to see, right? It's not just the belly up to the bar and go through the tasting. You really interact with what bigger ag picture, which is, you know, the livestock and, you know, the whole farming practices and seeing everything. So
how can people find out more? What are your hours? How can they visit?
Hours are Friday to Sunday, and they have 11 to 4:30. They can make a reservation. They take walk-ins as well. Littlevineyards.com is the best place to check that out.
Okay, and so when they get there, Dad might be playing music.
Absolutely.
You might be belting some Sinatra.
Yeah. We just got a new piano, acoustic piano in there, so we're going to work on getting some, you know, weekend music going with the piano as well. So, yeah, look forward to hosting you and your guests anytime.
That's lots of fun.
I know. Beautiful spot. I would agree.
I think we're going to have to do like a talent show of our farmers. I think there's all these hidden little talents. Like, I wouldn't have known, Josh. So, like, wouldn't that be fun?
I think, isn't Duff Bevel a guitarist as well? Or does he collect guitars?
He for sure collects. No, I think he does both.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, no, he has a.
I have a feeling like he might come out and just be like, wow.
Well, he should. I mean, I always describe him as someone that looks like he should be in the band ZZ Top,
right?
With his beard. Yeah. So, like, iconic. It would only seem appropriate.
And they need some band members. So,
they do. All right, we're signing you up, Josh. We're signing you up.
He might have a shot.
well, that
all right.
too.
Well, I really like that idea. Littlevineyards.com. Go visit in the beautiful area of Glen Ellen. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, great
appreciate
to have
you,
Josh.
Having me.
So much about Little Vineyards.
I know, I love that. And G3.
And G3, yeah.
And just Josh Little of Little Vineyards.
The Frank Sinatra, like, drop the, was...
amazing. And we almost, I felt like he was...
He was
almost,
thinking about it.
He was debating whether he would sing or not.
He was thinking about it.
He looks like he could be a crooner.
Yes. I think he had the voice for it, for sure.
Yeah.
I believe it. But maybe we need to go to Little Vineyards to...
I know. Well, like I said, I kind of want to now maybe do like a secret, like, hey, growers, tell us your secret talent.
I think a talent show would be really, really
brilliant.
Wouldn't
a grower talent show be hysterical?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, no. I see the wheels turning.
No, I'm just picturing someone like my husband who I know can't sing or dance or play.
Can he juggle?
No.
Magic tricks?
Not that I know, but I think I could see him getting up and being like, this is how you prune a vine.
Maybe he could saw you in half, Carissa.
Oh,
come on.
Perfect. Let's not do that. I'm not sure that's good for anyone. I wonder how many of our...
I think you gotta...
Do you know what would be really fun? We could do grower versus winemaker talent show.
Yep.
No? Just the growers. I don't know.
I think
you
throw
this.
It open. Whoever wants to sign up.
Who wants to sign up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Super fun.
Battle of the bands.
Battle of the bands.
That way, you know, Steve could just play the tambourine in somebody else's band or something like that, you know.
That's my trick.
Oh, okay. The Mrs. Partridge.
Although,
you can be keyboards. Yeah, pretend you're playing keyboards.
I was going to say, I did percussion when I was in eighth grade. I was a drummer.
Okay, well, there you have it.
Yeah. That wasn't very
good.
Get
on that stage.
That wasn't very good. That was a short run.
Okay, well, I'm happy to be a judge for this telecontest.
I love it.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, we tried for the hula hoop.
Yeah, we didn't get there.
Yeah, you didn't get that. Okay.
We got some of it, actually. I don't know if you, but we did bonus rounds. I got bonus points if they were able to do service in hula hoop when the Psalms were here. But with Dusky.
Always a good time. Always a good
anyway,
time.
All right. Okay. Tuesday night. We got to get to what, right, we're what almost you, out of time here.
What are you drinking?
Well, obviously, a Little Vineyards. I haven't had this wine, so I'm really excited. I think it's a perfect Tuesday night wine. It is their Zinfandel from their home property in Sonoma Valley, a 2022.
Hmm. Okay.
There you go.
Well, I was intrigued by his mention of the band blend. I picked out Track 15, which I suppose is their way of vintage dating their wines. I don't know.
Track 15.
Band Blend, Track 15. It is also from their estate, but it's mostly Syrah. So
oh,
I'm
that's
happy
fun.
About that. Syrah like with that. Cab Franc and Cab Sauv. So
why not?
Try it out.
For
why not
this
for
week
Tuesday night?
Only, can we change it to a Sunday night wine because football's back?
Yeah.
Oh.
In honor of football being back. Is
yes,
that okay?
Of course.
Okay? It's college football this weekend, so, you know.
Okay.
So there will be a game on Sunday night.
I think Sunday night, absolutely.
Otherwise, it's bourbon if I'm watching the Steelers.
Okay.
You have your coping mechanisms, and we have ours.
Do you know what? I think we should do a Sunday night wine and a Tuesday night wine. There you go.
Every night. Yes.
And then why skip Monday when you have Sunday and Tuesday? So I think that's just how
it
goes.
Then we'll break out the Sauvignon Blanc for the football.
I love it.
Okay. Well.
That was a great show. We've got talent covered. We got Sunday night football. We've got good stuff Sunday, good stuff Tuesday, and, of course, good stuff Monday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
All right.
Good stuff 7 days a week.
From Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff every night of the week.
Cheers to that.